Good morning. Could you have listened to that for a while longer? Oh, the Lord richly blessed, and I pray that you would continue praying. I felt the Lord in this place this morning, and I praise Him and thank Him for that. Such a powerful message to consider, and going to go out on a little bit of a limb this morning and not speak on what I had planned to speak on, and continue in the same vein of thought as to where Brother Joe is. And look at a corresponding passage to Brother Joseph's lesson on the Transfiguration. So if the Lord would bless us, it's been a couple years since I've preached on this passage and asked you to pray just a little bit more this morning. So if that doesn't put you on your edge of your seat and praying more, please do. Please do. Could you look at 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning? 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, who experienced, was one of those on the Mount of Transfiguration and witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus, the presence of Moses, presence of Elijah in their transfigured form as well, recounts this occurrence and makes several practical lessons from that occurrence in his life. You know, something to be an eyewitness to something, isn't it? That you were an eyewitness. You know, the passage we looked at in 1 Corinthians 15 last week, as he recounts all of the eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, to have witnessed his resurrection and seen the risen Christ, Peter here had witnessed the Mount of Transfiguration and had seen the transfigured Christ. And I love the takeaway point from that lesson that we read in that passage. This is my what? Beloved Son, the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Oh, isn't that the message of the gospel? This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. I'd like to pick up in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's start in verse 12. Here, Peter says this concerning his ministry and what he would desire out of his ministry. He says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, that you be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Did you notice his emphasis on remembrance? Right? Remembrance, remembrance. Peter wants the Lord's people to remember something. To remember something. Now, I find it interesting that in the passage of Brother Joe, there's so many parallels, it's just hard not to go here. In the passage that Brother Joe preached on, he talked about Jesus speaking of his exodus, right? His exit and what it would accomplish. I love that phrase. What did Jesus' death accomplish? Well, here, Peter speaks of his exodus, his exodus, his decease. He says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." You see, what did the Apostle Peter want his legacy to be, if you will, after his decease in the kingdom of God, is that the Lord's people might remember who Christ is and what he had done for them. And here we see that very similar pattern as he's thinking about his decease and his exodus. I love his reminder in verse 16. He says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says this, "But were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Eyewitnesses of his majesty. Lord willing, we'll come back to that point, because then he starts talking about the transfiguration. We've got a little bit of time to delve into this, and I think it's so wonderful to look at the larger context of 1 Peter chapter 1 and the pattern that's being set forth. If you were to go back and to read all of 1 Peter chapter 1, I would encourage you to keep an eye out for the word knowledge, and then to keep an eye out for the word remembrance. How do we know what we know, and how do we remember what we know? Do you ever have a faulty memory? Do you ever have an unstable memory? I now have a witness in my life to the very unstableness of my memory, and she's called my wife. And she sees every day and reminds me of things that I forget and things that I let slip. Well, do you know that in Scripture that's actually a common theme? Mm-hmm. That the Lord's people forget and the Lord's people let things slip. Basic things. Foundational truths that we at one time have such a firm grasp on and order our life after, and yet we let them fall by the wayside and forget about them, though it seems. And there are so many passages about how we ought, for instance, Hebrews chapter 2, how we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should what? Let them slip. In 1 Corinthians 15, just to read that verse one more time, he says that in verse 2, by which ye are saved, the gospel and hearing the gospel and receiving the gospel, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And so God's people are in danger of letting things slip and letting things be forgotten. In this passage in 1 Peter, Peter walks us through the life of a disciple of Christ and what that looks like. You know, given to us by God is that of faith. That of faith. He tells us to add things to our faith, but he never tells us to add faith in our life of discipleship. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a blessing of the influence of God in our life. But then he says to take this faith and to add to our faith. And you all are very familiar with this progression, and it's not my intent to walk through all of these. But again, pay attention to the focus of knowledge, and as that comes up, in verse 2 it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. You realize, you know, through the new birth, we escape the corruption that is in the line of Adam and in the family of Adam. And he says, besides all this, giving diligence. All right, so here is our task as a disciple of Christ. As I believe it was last week and Brother Joe preached on, to take up our cross daily and to follow after him. Does that seem haphazard to you? No, in fact, it's the exact opposite. It's very diligent and thoughtful and intentional activity. And he says, with all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a way that we can know who our Savior is and what he's done for us, but also that we can retain that information in our lives. And folks, it's more than just remembering it. You know, it's one thing just to know who my mother is and to remember my mother. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't think I'll ever forget who my mother is, but it's another thing to remember her, to care for her, to look after her, to let her influence continue in my life. And it's one thing to know who Christ is, but it's another thing to remember him, to remember to order our life after him and after his instructions and to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if I'm stepping on your toes this morning, you all realize I'm stepping on mine too, right? Because this is something we have to be continually reminded of. And he says, wherefore rather, let's read verse 9. He says, but he that lacketh these things. So this is one who hasn't taken with diligence his discipleship to the Lord is blind, which means he has lost sight of things that he once was able to see. You know, we sing Amazing Grace, and that talks about Newton gaining sight of things that once he couldn't see, right? Aren't you thankful for that? But here, Peter says it's also possible for us to lose sight of things that we once were able to see. Say, does that make a person not a child of God? No, they've just forgotten who they are. And they've forgotten. They're blind. You know, I'm thankful that Jesus, throughout Scripture and when his ministry was here on earth, what did he do so many times? He gave sight to the blind. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried to remind someone who has forgotten and it just doesn't seem like you can get through to them? Well, our hope and our trust isn't in us being able to convince them to return to the faith or to see Christ again, but it's yet in the confidence in a God who is able to give sight to the blind. And he says that we ought to give diligence to our discipleship. For what purpose? That we might not lose that sight of what Christ has done for us and become blinded by the things of this world. You know, I find it interesting that that's one of the first things that was done to Samson, right? What'd they do? They took away his vision. And he says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. I love the hymn that we sing concerning faith. What does faith do? It lets us see way far off. It puts things that happened thousands of years ago as if it just happens right before our eyes. Have you ever been able to see the work of Jesus Christ on the cross in your life and that he died for you? Well, that's faith telescoping, if you will, to the cross to allow us to see and to hear the words, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, and realize that's just not to the generic people, but that has some implication to me. That's faith that reaches back, isn't it? But it's also faith that allows us to reach forward and to see so many of the promises of God that are yet coming our way. The psalmist said, I would have fainted unless I expected to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But then our faith reaches even further to look at the returning of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to see afar off. And yet those who don't take this diligently, I heard Brother Mike Ivey speak on this on, I think, OBW recently, but he talked about how this is one of the ways that our conscience can become seared with a hot iron. If we don't take our discipleship to the Lord seriously, we can't see afar off. And it says we've been forgotten. We can forget that we were purged from our old sins. You know, it doesn't change the fact that we were purged, because it's his memory of that event, not ours, that ensures that that debt was paid. But what's the flip side of that? Because that's not where we want to fall. That's not why we woke up at, some of y'all travel, this is a commuter church, right? At whatever time, to come to be reminded of the good things that the Lord has done for you. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. In other words, he's saying, if you continue to pursue after Christ and are diligent in that pursuit, you're going to retain this close walk and relationship with Christ. Aren't you thankful that God, as soon as we make a mistake, just doesn't pull the rug out from under us? That it's not just a knee-jerk reaction, but he says to continue to be diligent, for in doing these things ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is, I believe, just an abundant start to our experience in God's kingdom. Do you know that this is what church is here in this life? It's an abundant start. We're starting to experience God's kingdom, but that will continue through all eternity. Are some of you out there wondering? You said, Brother Matt, I thought we were going to tie onto what Brother Joe was preaching. We are. Let's go there now. Because here Paul lays out a pattern for us to continue in gaining knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ and to retain and to remember him in our life. What's your primary way of doing that? Do we walk with the Lord and have close experiences with him? In fact, I think it's healthy for us to share those experiences with each other. How God is at work in our life. How we witness his power and his glory in our life. You know, I guess that's the good thing about preaching in a church I haven't been at very long, is you don't know all my stories, right? One story I like to tell of is when my grandpa was diagnosed with cancer, throat cancer, was in the hospital for months and months and months. And by all natural means, he should have passed and went on to glory. But there were folks who were praying. And I believe it's a decade was added to his life. You can't convince me that that wasn't God reaching in and answering prayers. You just can't convince me of that. And we could recount more and more stories like that. And could Peter recount some? Boy, howdy, we heard a good one this morning, didn't we? how Peter went up with the mount with Jesus, and he didn't just see the man Jesus Christ, he saw Jesus Christ transfigured in his glory before him. And you would think forever in Peter's mind it was settled who Jesus Christ was. No doubt. Well, he says in this passage, as we go back to verse 16, he says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." We saw him. You know, Thomas was the one who had to touch him. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. He says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and came such a voice." Have you ever wondered what that voice from heaven sounded like? Do you think that was just a normal voice? It was a voice who made known who he was. "This is my Son." That's the Heavenly Father. "This is my Son. Hear ye him." When God speaks, those who hear his voice know who he is. And he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Such a voice from the excellent glory. It says verse 18, "And this voice came from heaven, we heard, and when we were with him in the holy mount." It seems like this voice made an impact on the life of Peter. He mentions it several times. Verse 19, he draws an interesting comparison and a contrast. He says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereby ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, does this discount Peter's experience? It doesn't in the slightest. In fact, it corroborates it, right? They two together work in his life to manifest who Jesus Christ is. But he makes a very important point. Which one's more sure? Which one's more steadfast? All too often, we order and structure our life based solely upon our experience. I've heard that learning by experience is an effective teacher, but it's not a very efficient teacher. You know, we don't have to try everything to find out what the results are. Life is short. We don't have time for trial and error. We need to seek the Lord and his ways early in our lives. But he says that there is a more sure word of prophecy. Prophecy is simply, "Thus saith the Lord." This more sure word of prophecy, "whereby you do well that ye take heed." He says, take heed to this more sure word of prophecy. You see, these are the scriptures that testify of who Christ is. And when the apostles went and preached the good news of the gospel, read their sermons. Do you know their focus wasn't on personal experience? They counted the eyewitnesses. They counted and used that, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15. But even in 1 Corinthians 15, all of those eyewitnesses were subject to what? According to the scriptures. And so it's a witness, but there's a more sure word of prophecy. And that's the word of God that, as we're going to read, I'll just jump down to it in verse 21. "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." Folks, the Bible we have in front of us aren't just the words written by people who wanted to write them. But it says that these words were holy men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's as if the Holy Spirit was guiding their pen. This more sure word of prophecy. So what do we do with this more sure word of prophecy? We have those experiences of the Lord being gracious to us in our life. Treasure them up. Set up your Ebenezer stones. Put those as a remembrance, not just for you, but for future generations. But teach the next generation to value God's word and the sureness of God's word. You know, that's why I love Little Zion's Church, is because you don't walk away saying it was good to hear so-and-so, but it was good to learn from God's word. And he says here that it's a more sure word of prophecy. And I love this picture. I've given this example in a facility store, and I'll give it to you again today before in the past. But he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereby you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And I love this imagery that Peter is given. He says, this word of prophecy, it's like a flashlight in the dark. Have you ever been down in a cave and they turn off the lights? Can you imagine being down there and not having a way to turn on light? I experienced something really close to it. I was out hiking one time and went up farther than I should have, longer than I should have, and all by myself. All the things you're not supposed to do as a hiker, right? Yeah, I know, not smart. And I was watching the sunset and the waterfall. It was beautiful. It was glorious. But as soon as that sun went down over the mountains, there was no moon that night, and it just turned dark. And then my phone was dead. And I had no light. I had never felt so helpless. Never felt so helpless. I had the path right in front of me, but the way the paths worked there, they went every which direction. And I knew I had to cross the river, and I couldn't for the life of me find the crossing of the river. The parking lot was just on the other side. And it was dark. Off in the distance, I wish I remembered the man's name. I see a light. Do you know what I did? Everything that you would have done too, you would have went straight to that light.
Amen.
How about us in Scripture? Do you feel to be in a dark world? Sometimes the darkness is uncomfortable. It's so dark. But the light yet shines from God's Word. Are we running? And are we clinging to that light? Peter says, I can tell you all of my experiences, and the experiences with the Lord are true and real, but there's a more sure word of prophecy, and it is our light in this dark world. It's the way that will guide us. I love it how it says in the Old Testament that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not only does God's word help you make the next step and the next step, but God's word gives you a long-term view that you can get no other way to see the end of what the Lord has done for you. And so it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And he says to take heed unto this light. I would submit to you that this is the light. This is the light. Why is the church a city set upon a hill? The church is the pillar and the ground of the what? The truth. Here's our light. Here's our light. He says, to take heed unto this light as a light that shines in a dark place. And I love it that there's an end to the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll close with this thought this morning. I love it that there's an end to being in survival mode. There's an end of having to cling and to intently and diligently hold and cling to Christ. But the sun is going to rise. Yes, the S-U-N, but the S-O-N is going to return. Folks, when he did rise, he rose with healing in his wings. I read that verse not too long ago, and doesn't that encourage you? When he rose from the grave, he rose with healing in his wings. But the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to this earth. Until then, we cling unto the light that we do have until the day dawn. Brother Joe talked about, are we going to know each other in heaven? I would just say this very quickly to summarize. It doesn't talk about us going to glory and losing knowledge. We're going to glory and we're gaining knowledge. We're going to see him, not as we see him now through a glass darkly, but we are going to see him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is. Wow. You know why? Because the sin that holds us back is going to be put off of us. We're going to be transformed and conformed to his image. And we're going to see him as he is. No, our relationships are not going to be the same in glory. I would submit to you they're going to be better in glory. They're going to be closer in glory. Say, oh, a husband and wife, that's as close of a relationship you can get. Yet even within a husband and wife, there's tension and disagreement and struggles and trials and having to forgive one another. How about in glory? Oh, no. That's done away with it. Perfection. Within ourselves, between ourselves, and with our Savior. Are you looking forward to that? You know, the church and the kingdom and a godly couple and godly family is just a slice of that here in this world. It's a foretaste of that glory. Oh, but the day is going to, day star will arise. The day shall dawn. I love how there's light that comes from without, and there's also light that's given within. And I believe that's that greater understanding that we're going to have of who our Savior is and what he's done. Right now, we are seeing through a glass darkly, but aren't you thankful for the vision that we have?
Amen.
Let's cling to God's word as a light in a dark place. May God richly bless you is my prayer.
Amen.